We've been talking a lot about rest and growing in that, and we've talked about R, which stands for? No, the whole thing stands for rest. R stands for? Rely. What does E stand for? Exchange. You got it. Now, we haven't covered the S, but what's it stand for? Serve. You guys are good. What's T? Trust. You got it. Okay. We're all on the same page here. This week, especially with some of these things that have been happening with the bills and things like that, you know, God's been laying on my heart the power of community. Small things done collectively can have powerful results. This is true for our own growth and encouragement. You know, we've talked a lot about finding rest in our hearts and aligning our hearts to God individually, but there also is a corporate reality. We need to find rest and alignment with one another before God. God has a very special place for us in this. And like I said, I believe God wants our body to grow in this aspect, to really grow in understanding, like, there is power and strength in community, and especially if we're all activated and engaged to become encouragers and do what the Word says and encourage one another, then we can have powerful, profound effects on people's lives, especially if there's a Holy Spirit unction in you saying, go ahead and say that. And we're like, okay, you're awesome. And then someone, unknowing to you because you were just listening to the small voice of the Spirit, someone needed that so bad, and it shifts their whole mentality that day. But we are bombarded in the world by all kinds of other elements and agents that come to destroy us and tear us down, criticize, rip down, break down. The church is supposed to be a place of speaking life, identity, encouragement, truth. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let's break this down. Number one, spur one another on. Josiah talked last week a lot, great message on love. And we need to spur each other on in love and good deeds, you know? It's like, think about when the last time you looked to someone and literally spurred them on, which means like engage them, poke them a bit, you know, rough them up. Just kidding, guys. That's guy talk. You go and you just kind of get them moving. You like encourage them. You're saying, hey, come on. And you're releasing love over their life. Or encourage them in good deeds. Like, when's the last time you actually told someone something that they did that really encouraged you and you really noticed their help or their assistance or what they did? Some of you need to see, like, Timothy's magnificent work here. Like, I don't think anyone's seen that. It's been kind of a hidden treasure. He's not here, right? Can you turn it on? That's the regular lamp. But this is kind of the things Timothy does. It's kind of like, look at that. That's cool up there. And what about the lamp? Do you guys know how to make that sparkle? Oh, you're coming? Okay. But it's like things like this that no one knows about. And, you know, like people need to go and say, what's going on? Say like, Timothy, that was really cool. That was all your idea. Oh, yeah, kind of. But my favorite's the sparkly one. I don't know. I think you have to play with the software, but it kind of twinkles. It's all white lights. I like the white lights. But when Timothy's here, he'll put it on 1 week. But this thing's all hardwired with these smart LED lights. But Timothy does things like that, you know? So I want to encourage you, you know, like, tell people, notice things that happen. That's okay, guys. You could forget about that. We'll wait till Timothy comes and he can twinkle it. Yeah, right. So spur one another on. You know, the second part is meet together. You know, we don't want to be those who don't meet together as I mean, can you imagine this has been an issue since the beginning when the Bible was written? That there was people who don't meet together. Well, we're supposed to meet together because meeting together is powerful, especially in an age where we live in all this online stuff, right? There's not that same like heart-to-heart, face-to-face. I understand if you're homesick or if you can't get out or whatever. I'm not saying we shouldn't stream when we're at home, but I'm saying that's not the real intention, isn't to replace a face-to-face time of meeting together. It's a powerful time. It's a time when hearts can be exchanged, when you can look at someone's face and say, "What's wrong with you?" And they're like, "How do you know?" "Well, I could tell. I know you well enough. I could see your face, and it's not going well. What's going on? Let me encourage you." That's like only happens face-to-face. And then encourage, you know, encourage your peers, brothers and sisters. That's a real easy way to do it, right? But how about those you lead, encouraging them? And then how about those who lead you? And, you know, you say, "Oh, but they're the leader. They don't need encouragement." Oh, good God. If you're a parent, how many parents feel exasperated and, like, love encouragement, right? You would just love those precious times when kids come to you and you've been like, "Oh, there's been conflict. There's been all kinds of discipline, everything like that." And they come and say, "Mom, Dad, you know, I love you." That's why I like being a grandparent, because I don't have all the difficult aspects as much as, "I love you, Crappy." I'm like, "Oh, this is the best." Being a grandparent's great. But express to people your appreciation. Tell them how nice they look if you really mean it. If you don't, just don't say anything. Community is a vital aspect of our spiritual growth and rest. God's calling us to exchange our individualism and our self-dependency for community and interdependency. In community, we find support, encouragement, and accountability. Sometimes accountability is not so fun. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Now, I don't know about you, but grinding metal does not sound very pleasant if it represents two people. Two lives grinding off particles off one another's lives. Doesn't sound really pleasant, right? But it's an important part. You know, some of you, I know what you're thinking. You're like, "This is like marriage." Well, exactly right. It is. Marriage does. Marriage whittles away each person, where two people who are different learn to become one flesh. That is not easy. That's a work. That's a process. And that's the beauty. Marriage is a representation of Christ and his church. It's that coming together into oneness where each part is dying to some aspect of themselves, that they could come together and be one in a powerful, new, creative way. You know, but we also share our joys, our struggles, our prayers, benefiting from the wisdom and experience of others. Galatians 6:2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Hebrews 3:13, "Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you are hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Psalm 133:1, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." There's also a factor of synergy that takes place in community. When we come together, many smaller parts can form a collective whole. You know, this is what Ephesians 4 talks about, right? It's the body of Christ edifying each part in love until it becomes this sustaining, perpetual, healthy organism, right? This is what the body of Christ is supposed to do. All different smaller parts coming together collectively in one whole, that it becomes this expression of supernatural God. You know, and it's, we are the body of Christ. We are a bunch of parts of the body that when we come together, think about that. Think about that. Like, oh man, I wish I could see God. Well, hopefully we grow into a place where people look at the church and they're like, the body of Christ. I can see God in this body. I can see the love. I can see the character. I can see the nature. It's striking. It's compelling. It causes me to stand in awe and wonder. Like, wow. Doesn't that sound awesome? That we could be a supernatural expression of God himself? Oh, gosh, guys. Come on. It's a snow day, but oh, boy. Many smaller influences, too, can create a bigger influence. You know, like the scripture says that we are a display of multifaceted wisdom to the principalities and the powers of darkness. Us as the church, a collective entity, a collective coming together begins to challenge principalities and powers. You know, something that you can't do on your own. When we come together in the body, all of the parts coming together, we become an agent that is much more powerful than we can ever imagine on our own. Preach it, Sean. I will. Together we can shine brightly as an example, a witness of Christ's love and grace to the world. You know, God's whole plan is to influence the world, every aspect of it. Family, religion, education, media, arts and entertainment. Hollywood needs Jesus. Business, government. It's God's plan to displace the ruler of darkness with light and life until one day he returns and removes all sickness and death and establishes his kingdom and his reign in fullness of the earth. How could one person, it says in Deuteronomy 32:30, how can one person chase off 1,000 in battle? How could two people make 10,000 flee for their lives? Only because their rock sold them off. Only because the Lord handed them over. And this is where our confidence is, folks, is the body of Christ, that we literally represent the Lord. If we yield our hearts and allow him to change us and make us like him, we are the church is to represent him and put the enemies, which isn't people, the spiritual principalities and realities into flight. Leviticus 26:8 says, 5 of you shall chase 100, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Now, you know, some of you are like, of course, yeah, that's true. But I don't think we really realize how inactive the church is in their world. Like, the other day I went to this GOP meeting in town, and they had an election. There was probably 40, 50 people there. Do you know the election was determined by 2 votes for most of those positions of the officers of that committee that were going to lead the whole party in town? 2. I was sitting there thinking, like, one couple was here, it would have changed everything. And hardly anyone was there that I knew out from the church. Like, and I know we're not all part of Wyndham, but all I'm saying is 2 people. 2 people determines so much. And scripture validates this. Like, one could put 1,000, 2 can put 10,000. 2 people versus 1 has 10 times the effect. I went to this warrant deliberation thing in Wyndham where basically warrant articles are passed and then people stand up and say, I don't like that at all. I want to pose this amendment. Now, this changes the entire regulations of where we live, where our church is. And it came down to 10 people to determine the course of the entire town concerning one regulation. 10 people, you would think like in a town of thousands. I think what, there's 20,000? Something around that has grown. And it came down to 10 people making the difference. And what I'm posing to you is, like, you look at things like where we all showed up in force, like for the tent. You know, the ADU article would have ended up as a warrant at this meeting that I went to where 10 votes made a difference. Instead, because we showed up with 40 people, it didn't even end up on the warrant article list, which we didn't want it to. 40 people makes a difference of shifting entire legislative things. And I'm saying this, folks, like, are we supposed to become just governmental activists? No, but we are supposed to be a voice. We are supposed to say, I say this because it's in line with, hopefully, our convictions of Scripture. And I'm saying, like, when you see such a small margin affect an entire town, I started, like, this week, I've been just, my head's been exploding with like, potential of saying, if I could just, like, get some of the church, just a small fraction percentage, to become active, just active voices in their culture, it would take almost nothing to shift culture. I mean, for a whole town, it came down to 10 people. 10 people. So I want to encourage you to start to pray along these lines. Start asking God, like, Lord, would you open my heart? Would you cause me to be an active agent of truth? You know, like, we talk about things like life, and we talk about family, and we talk about the welfare of churches who own property and are oppressed, who are picked on. Many municipalities, like, pick on churches. They won't let them build buildings. I mean, this is just, do a Google search. So some representative comes and says, you know what? I'm going to pass a bill that says that they can't impose all these regulations on churches. And then a few people show up, there's 20 people, and they say, yeah, let's send the bill to the Senate, and then let's vote on it. And then it gets voted, and it becomes a law. And then it affects, like, a chain, churches all across our state who can now do things they couldn't do before. Just a small engagement of hearts in the body of Christ rising up and just saying, like, I want my voice to be heard. I want to support this. I have convictions. I want to just end with this plea of Joshua, out of Joshua chapter 23. You know, and this whole thing is about allowing God to engage you to be a voice where you haven't even considered being a voice. What does that mean? You don't have to, like, start signing up every night to go to your town hall, wherever you live, but it's like starting to look at things and, like, you know, I'm committing to, like, start to send out things like this for our state, because we all are part of New Hampshire, most of us, right? And we could be a voice, and we can go online in 30 seconds and just say, I just expressed my voice. And then it makes a massive difference, because no one engages as citizens in the place they live. And we are citizens of heaven that are called to influence this earth. Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're doing, folks, as citizens of heaven. We're becoming citizens and opening our mouths, and we're saying, let your light shine, Lord. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to click my finger. I'm going to take 30 seconds. I mean, come on, guys. Let me. Is there anyone here? Well, I'm not going to ask that. It's just very quiet, you know, and I'm wondering if it's because you're thinking and processing, like, we're called to be active agents. And I'm hoping that if you are processing, it's not because you're like, well, I don't know. And I hope that no one believes the separation of church-state malarkey. Because where does that say anything like that in the Bible? Please help me. Show me where we're not supposed to represent truth on this earth, affect culture, influence hearts, influence minds, open our mouths and speak truth. Come on, man. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Okay, let's look at Joshua 23 here. Now, Joshua's at the end of his life, and he's basically giving an appeal to all the people of Israel. When a long time after that, when the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies, you know, they fought hard. They fought, they contended with all the enemy nations that were representative of all the different principalities and powers we face, right? We read the Old Testament because it's an example of the spiritual realities that we all face today. But it's a living example for us all to understand things better. Joshua had grown old and advanced in years. Joshua summoned all Israel, their elders, heads, judges, and officers, and said to them, "I am old and advanced in my years. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain. With all nations I have cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea on the west, the Lord your God will thrust them out before you and drive them out of your sight. And you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you." Remember, a natural example of spiritual realities. This is what I feel God's promise is to us as a community, that we will see the enemy driven out from before us by the Lord in ways that we've not seen in years and years and years. God is going to have the victory. We're going to see our prayers answered. We're going to see the enemies of the gospel, not people again. I'm talking spiritual realities. I'm talking the delusion and the oppression that's been over people's lives that you've loved, and they cannot see Christ. I'm saying a breaking off of darkness, breaking off of oppression, breaking off of addiction, and people opening up to the gospel. We're going to see it, folks, in such an impressive way. We're going to be amazed at the greatness of God. Verse 6, "So be very courageous and steadfast to keep and do all that is written in the book, turning not aside to the right or to the left, that you may not mix with these nations that remain among you and make mention of names of their gods or swear by them or serve them or bow down to them." There's going to become a delineation in the body of Christ where we start standing against darkness. We stand against sin. We don't become enticed by the spirit of the world. There's a purity and a holiness unto the Lord that comes upon the people of God, that we won't make mention of their names or swear by them or serve them or bow down to these idols. Verse 8 says, "But cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to withstand you to this day." The promise of the Lord is that God is greater in you than the darkness around you. "One man of you shall put to flight 1,000, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you, as he promised you." Then he warns, verse 11, "Be very watchful of yourselves, therefore, to love the Lord your God." You know, notice here it didn't say, like, be watchful that you don't fall into sin. Be watchful that you don't. It's be watchful that you love the Lord your God. And folks, I'm telling you, when you love the Lord, sin falls off, because love is furious. Love is powerful. Love consumes your heart. The Bible says, to hate sin is the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. The love of the Lord causes your heart to be so full of him. So often we focus on the sin, and we focus on the things we have to change, and we focus on, oh, I have this problem. If we'd start focusing on God and allow his fullness to fill us, those things fall off. That's the way we're supposed to do. Set your mind on things above. We're supposed to fascinate ourselves and consume ourselves with the goodness of God, with the truth of God, with the promises of God. Then all those things will be given to you. Your desire to be free, your desire to be clear, your desire to have these things that you just can't seem to overcome and get rid of, bad attitudes, pride, arrogance, unforgiveness. When we get fascinated with God, things fall off because his love is powerful. Come on. For if you turn back and adhere to the remnant of these nations, the idols that are just remnants in your life, and make marriages with them or alliances, know that certainly that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations from before you, but they shall be a snare and trap you, and a scourge in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of the earth. Joshua's saying, I'm dying, I'm passing. And this is his plea and his final address to his people. And he's saying, cling to the love of the Lord. Know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God has promised concerning you. All have come to pass, not one thing of them has failed. But just as all good things which the Lord promised you have come to you, so will the Lord carry out his every warning of evil upon you until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord's given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord, which he commands you, if you serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly. Going to end James 1:2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Oh, come on. That is a word to remember. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. Father, I just pray right now for every heart here. Lord, I pray that the fight of the Lord would come up and rise up in them, Lord God, that they would look to you, that they'd be filled with might and power and faith, Father God, to believe and trust you, that you are who you say you are, that you do go to fight before us, Lord. Lord, I pray you open our eyes to the small things, Lord God, that when we make small decisions and we join ourselves with the body, it could produce powerful results, Lord. Lord, I pray that you teach us how to influence our culture around us. Lord, teach us, guide us, cause us to become active voices. Lord, I just pray right now for every heart in here that there'd be an activation of desire to influence, to witness, to be a testimony, a living epistle, to challenge things, to speak truth of the family, of the church. Lord, I pray you activate and engage every heart here to become an encourager. Lord, I pray you break off despondency. I pray you break off disappointment. Come on, I know there's people here where he just wants to wash you clean. He wants to break off things of the past. Break off things that beset you. Break off offense. He wants to shower you with his love and bring and water the garden of your heart and cause there to be blossoming and new things that form and shape, new expressions of goodness, good works and love, good works and love. Thank you, Father. I pray today also, Lord God, that there would be a fresh impartation of love in our hearts, Lord God. Pour out your Spirit, Lord God. Sweep upon every heart, every mind. I pray for you to wash away every hindrance, every distraction, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. thank you, Lord. Father, I pray you cause this church to rise up and be a witness. Lord, not only to principalities and powers, but also to the state, to this town, Lord God. I pray that the goodness of God would be expressed and revealed, Father God. Take us, Lord. Fit us together. Let us be a living organism that has a voice, that preaches, that influences, that declares, Father. And Lord, I just pray right now with all these believers here that you would form a force field over this whole property and over this church. Lord, not only the physical property, but the spiritual property. All of the people that you've claimed to be your own in this building and the ones at home. Lord God, that there'd be an umbrella protection and favor and goodness. We pray for a breaking off right now in the name of Jesus. I join my heart with hundreds here, Lord God, and online. And I agree right now that the works of darkness, every curse, every assignment, every bit of witchcraft, everything's broken right now in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. We pray for a breaking off of every assignment. Lord, I pray for a confusion to be sent into the enemy's camp, that they would devour one another, that they'd be turned against one another, that there'd be an exposure that would bring blessing and the light of heaven breaking in on every dark gathering, every dark circle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for raining righteousness down from heaven. I pray, Lord God, for refreshing, times of refreshing and revival to sweep this place, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let salvation spring up from the ground, Lord God. We pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for refreshing. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to abound in this place, in every heart, in every mind, Lord God. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Come on, just open your hearts. Receive from the Lord. If he begins to move on your hearts, just respond to him. Come on, create that exchange today. Give him the stuff and receive the newness of the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.